The following podcast is intended for a mature audience. In this episode, there are descriptions of blood, sex, and violence, including a depiction of self-harm by a minor. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome, dear listener, to Echoes of Escheaton, a solo play Degenesis podcast that lets the dice rolls tell the story. You'll find the gripping narratives in this apocalyptic setting unfold before your very ears. You'll hear stories of loss and injustice, redemption and hope. A miasma of gloom drifts across the barren wastes, while nightmarish beasts roam and terrorize cities and settlements. Only mankind's inexhaustible will to survive offers the faintest glimmer of hope on the horizon. The echoing shades of the bygone peoples lingers on the wind and on the lips of survivors in this hell on earth. What stories will they tell? Picking up from the last episode, Uriah and Isaac have been spotted through the curtain at the base of the stairs. This is all thanks to Tinkrit's use of the burn variant, Unity, granting him a sight beyond sight. This 13x10 chamber is a small arena for so many people, so I'm going to clear out some of the posers first with a chance roll. I'll rule that at least the dancers and prostitutes will clear out and run past Sarah, who's pressed against the staircase wall, which will count for 4 people. Tinkrit and the 2 leather-clad Anabaptists will stay to fight for their cause, which leaves 8 scions. I'm going to roll a d6 for each, since it is a larger group. Any successes means that they stay, and any failures means that they flee. This flight roll normally relies off of psyche plus faith or willpower, and that dice pool is influenced by the flight factor table, which can be found in the Artifacts Rule Expansion Book. Okay, so 6 of the other 8 will stay for the fight. Keep in mind that they are unarmed and naked, except for 1 or 2 loincloths in the mix, which don't apply any armor bonuses. Now let's look at initiative, which will get refreshed each round of combat. I'll rule that Uriah has already taken some of his flesh wounds, but no trauma yet since he is so strong and big. However, he will be in a stunned state and be in an active defense role on his first round of combat as he shakes off the effect of burn variant Unity.
Round 1.
Isaac and Tinkrit rolled the same initiatives, so they act the same time according to the rules. Isaac will use 3 ego points to boost his initiative order, and he rolled 2 6s, granting him an additional action during his turn. He moves to the nearest scion who bravely, but foolishly, puts up his fists on guard. Isaac thrusts with his sword, and the scion dodges dumbly, getting run through the ribs. Isaac pulls up the sword with a sickly, meaty sound and brings it down again, this time removing the scion's guard arm with a clean slice. The scion collapses in a pool of his blood, mouth agape as the light leaves his eyes. Isaac breathes in the copper scent of the bloody mist, and his eyes roll back in his head for a moment. He regains 1 ego point for dealing 5 plus damage this round, as indicated by his potential, Numa. Potentials are like character specializations and features that give bonuses to combat, role-playing, and more. I'll dive into potentials more in later episodes. Let's stay focused in the fray for now. Tinkrit brandishes his cutlass and runs in 5 meters to strike Uriah. Tinkrit will suffer a -2 dice penalty on his action rolls, but gains +1 to his passive defense score. After all, it is harder to hit a moving target. Ah, but Tinkrit doesn't roll enough successes with his attack to surpass Uriah's base defense plus his active defense for this turn. Tinkrit goes for a heavy chop with his weighty steel against the hunched over Uriah. Uriah comes to his senses at the last second while holding his hand, and deftly weaves out of the way. Josiah and Ethan move together with their huge Bidenhander swords gripped tightly in both hands. They will both take active defense stances as they move 3 meters to close the distance, and they yell out to Tinkrit.
Move out of the way, you stupid bastard! You're no good to us dead.
For Sarah's turn, she will follow the escapees up the stairs with her full movement. Each round in Degenesis combat is 4 seconds, and I'll rule that she's going to make sure that the whores and sycophants are funneled into Simeon, Brig, and Rebecca's grasp outside. She will also make sure that Simeon and the others can arrive for backup. Based on approximate distance to the outside of the bakery and back, I think that this will probably take about 5 rounds total, so let's see if the father-son duo can hold out for that long. The remaining group of Scions move closer to Isaac and Uriah, dead set on wrestling their weapons away from them, or die trying. I'm going to adopt a Dungeons & Dragons-style flanking rule for the Scions as they surround Isaac or Uriah. For now, they will bide their time and prepare to use their ego points.
Round 2.
Uriah looks down at his left hand as his vision pulses in time with his elevated heartbeat. His mind has become clear, his intention righteous. He's back in battle focus and ready to claim some heads in the name of the Almighty. Tinkrit pays no attention to Isaac as he strikes at Uriah again, this time with no movement penalty. Again, his cutlass goes wide against the veteran Uriah, who ducks the slash. Isaac moves to strike another Scion, fueled by his newfound rage. He slashes across the Scion's belly, puncturing his diaphragm for 7 points of damage. The Scion enters into his trauma points, looking at the laceration across his abdomen with a small length of intestine poking out. Isaac gains 1 ego point from his damage output potential. The pneuma fills his lungs. Uriah unsheathes his own Bidenhander longsword, its blade singing sweetly across the chamber room. His beef is with Tinkrit, and so he will attack the Scion Supreme. The cumbersome blade incurs a -2 dice penalty for its heft, but Uriah swings it expertly. He strikes Tinkrit across the reinforced leather trench coat, dealing 9 points of damage, with 3 points negated, for 6 total. Josiah and Ethan stalk closer, patiently waiting for an opening to strike. After seeing Tinkrit take a massive blow from the wounded Uriah, they implore him again.
Stand back, you fool! You must be protected!
Sarah decides to retrieve help. She's already at the top of the hidden staircase, and she sees new streaks in the flour on the floor as the others have escaped through the door next to the oven. It is only a matter of time before the second strike team will have apprehended them, but she needs to continue another turn to warn Simeon of the dangers below ground. One Scion faces down Isaac, while another moves to flank Uriah. The Scion on Isaac throws a wild haymaker to try and knock out the young orgiastic. Oof! Isaac gets cuffed on the side of the head, leaving him dazed in the melee. Isaac suffers no flesh wound damage, but takes 2 points of ego damage, lowering his total pool to win the initiative orders. The other Scion flanks Uriah and will receive a +1 dice to his attack rolls. He will try to disarm him, and I'm keeping the difficulty at 1 success since Uriah is missing some fingers. Scion rolls a 6, 5, 3, and 1. As indicated by the artifact's rulebook, the defender, Uriah, has a chance to resist and must roll at least 1 trigger to keep the two-handed weapon in his clutches. His big paws grip the steel tightly. Whoa, okay, even with a 9 dice pool for Uriah's body plus force, he just barely ekes out 1 trigger. The Fuhrer has a death grip on his sword in the fury of battle. It will not come out easily. Another Scion, the drunk, fat man who guzzled the blood cup earlier, tries to ferociously bite Uriah. A biting action normally incurs a -3d penalty, but remember, the 2 Scion companions flanking Uriah, it just becomes a -1 dice penalty. The drunken Scion chomps down on Uriah's bracer, but causes no damage.
Round 3.
Tinkrit yells in anger and swipes again at the flanked Uriah, the wicked-looking cutlass coming down to cleave him in 2. And with a hit, Tinkrit shears through the several woven plates on Uriah's pauldron, carving into his collarbone for 3 points of total damage. The Scion Supreme then retreats 2 meters to the western wall, allowing the armored Anabaptist to come sweeping in. Josiah and Ethan will both take turns attacking Uriah. The thugs are large and muscular. They riposte their Bidenhander swords on the attack. Josiah strikes with the massive blade for 9 points, negated by 3 points of lamellar armor, leaving 6 damage to go through Uriah. Uriah grunts in pain, but he's had worse strikes. Ethan lashes out as well, dealing another 6 total damage. Uriah didn't see the second strike coming, and a deep cut is made across his left bicep, chunks of severed muscle showing through his skin. Isaac hears his father's cry of pain behind him.
Father! Burn in hell, you fucking bastards!
He says, foaming at the mouth. His immediate target wears a grimace of terror as Isaac spins his sword deftly and slices up the Scion's entire body, cutting his sternum wide open. Isaac whips around to see his father faltering and moves to his aid as the scion collapses behind him. Pain racks Uriah's entire upper body. He becomes dazed. Memories of his children growing up before his eyes rapidly flash through his mind. He sees Sarah's face, her hand in his at a ceremony, flowers in her hair. She begins weeping blood from her eyes, staining her satin dress. The Pergan War enters his thoughts. He sees the faces of young ones, mutants, bathing in blood and feces, relishing every bite of their dead parents' flesh as he desperately tries to pry them off with his huge arms. A cottage is set ablaze and burns behind him as he holds the mutants underwater in a nearby stream, unable to cut them down. They bite and chomp at his forearms as they expire, breathing their last. The water becomes murky with blood, and suddenly, a blinding light fills his vision as he only sees in black and white. He shrieks like a wild animal. Uriah activates his character potential, Unleashed. Using 3 ego points, he will now double the amount of triggers on all his body plus melee rolls. He lumbers 1 meter forward and swings his 7-foot Bidenhander in a wide arc at Tinkrit, remaining aware of his positioning with the staircase and cloth banners above him. Tinkrit gasps as a swath of steel appears from behind his bodyguards and strikes him for 7 points of total damage. Upstairs, Sarah hurriedly climbs through the drop box and sees Simeon, Brig, and Rebecca tackling the escapees to the ground, nets thrown over them to bind them up.
"Damn these folk! You're needed inside! Follow me!"
Sarah yelled to Simeon. Brig and Rebecca kicked and punched the escaped scions into submission as the black-haired orgiastic shouldered his flamethrower, the Spitfire, and twisted its gas valve to prime it. He raced after Sarah, hot on her heels, back through the bakery door. Now, after seeing 2 of their brethren struck down, I'm going to make another flight roll for the remaining low-tier scions. The flight difficulty is now 3 successes for any cult member to stay, after adding 1 dice for each slain scion thus far. Okay. Only 1 is brave enough to stay. The others clamber over each other near the staircase to escape the carnage. The one that stays cannot reach Uriah or Isaac yet, as there are too many bodies in the way. Time for another round of combat.
Round 4.
As a bit of clarification here, there is another potential Uriah has access to as a Führer in the Anabaptist army. However, I am combining it with Unleashed to not only make it more potent, but also to simplify stat tracking and spice up the narrative flair for our hero. I'm a kid at heart, hopefully you'll get a thrill out of it like I do. Once a character has taken more than 50% of their flesh wounds in combat, they have access to the Fisherman's Blood potential. It has no restriction on the amount of ego points the character can use for initiative and combat. However, in their frenzied, unleashed state, they become reckless, similar to a barbarian in D&D, and they can no longer take an active defense option for additional defensive points. So, to sum up, Fisherman's Blood has been combined with Unleashed, and will just be referred to as Unleashed in the future, if Uriah even has one. Blood flows freely from Uriah's open gashes, but he is still on his feet. He leaves a bloody boot print on the stone floor as he sweeps his Bidenhander up in the air again. A twisted smile crosses his lips as he sees Tinkrit cowering in fear. The Scion Supreme's monochromatic outline gives off waves of black flames from his head, as if the Demiurge is trying to flee its vessel before being smote into oblivion. Uriah deals another 7 points of damage to Tinkrit, sending him well into his trauma points. Now, any action taken by Tinkrit will have a -6 dice penalty attached to it. The Scion Supreme is knocked to the ground, bleeding profusely from his many stabs and slashes. He is alive, but just barely. Tinkrit's turban is soaked in blood, staining the formerly royal blue cloth a sickly-looking henna color. He manages to speak only 1 word before coughing up blood and viscera from his hemorrhaged organs.
Mercy.
He said weakly. While Tinkrit is gravely injured, Josiah will come to his aid to try to stabilize him with bandages. The other, Ethan, faces down Uriah.
Big mistake, Führer. You damaged the cartel's supplier of burn. Can't say they'll look too kindly on that.
Uriah wipes spittle and gore from his face and mouth with a bloody hand.
And what would you know about it, brother?
Enough talk.
The brown-haired Anabaptist wielded his Bidenhander and brought it down on Uriah's already weakened shoulder plate. The strike carved into his collarbone and dealt 6 points of damage, sending Uriah into his trauma points. Such a large cleaving strike, however, left the towering sword stuck in Uriah's bulky frame. The Führer put a gloved mitt on the leather-wrapped Fuller to keep the attacker from wrestling the blade free. Ethan gnashed his teeth in frustration, but he has another trick up his sleeve. Bidenhander swords are massive, almost to the point of impracticality, but in the pommel lies a hidden, spring-loaded knife that can pop out if enough triggers are rolled, like Ethan had done previously to attack Uriah. Uriah spit up gore again, and his coarse red sideburns took on a darker shade of red. He collapsed to both knees, struggling to stay conscious while his attacker taunted him with the pommel knife. Isaac is panting raggedly. The oils in his pneuma potential are the only thing keeping his eyes open. If any character depletes their ego point resources before battle is over, they are rendered unconscious from exhaustion. He takes quick strides to close the gap to his next target, moving quickly and silently to take advantage of the hubris of Ethan looming over his father. Isaac has been stealthy before, creeping through the cross quarter to tail his parents, and the artifact's rulebook outlines the contesting roles for sneak attacks. The evil Anabaptist does have combat awareness, but his full attention is on defeating Uriah at the moment. The grit-caked floor gives way to Isaac's stealth as Ethan turns at the last second to see Isaac lashing out with his sword and will take a full strike for 6 points of damage. Sarah is several paces ahead of Simeon as they both vault over the upturned baking tables and head directly for the uncovered staircase. Almost there. The last brave scion moves to strike Isaac and take him off his feet for good with another blow attack. Blows deal damage directly to ego points, not flesh wounds. Isaac is currently sitting at 1 ego point from all of his earlier turns, even after acquiring some with his pneuma potential. The older scion tries to crumple Isaac with a smack from his elbow between the blonde orgiastic shoulder blades, but Isaac's thick fur cape takes a lot of salt out of the blow, and he shrugs it off. Had the scion had any more points in his force skill, Isaac would have been knocked out cold.
Round 5.
All combatants are growing weary. Let's see what happens next, even with low ego and initiative rolls. Josiah throws the soaked bandages against the wall with a splat in frustration.
He's too far gone. Let's get out of here.
Ethan is squared up with the young Isaac, wheezing from his previous sword stroke.
There will be hell to pay from uptown. Then we'll pay, but not with our lives,
Josiah said heatedly. The two rogue Anabaptists shuffle to their feet and retreat up the staircase, Ethan dropping his hidden knife behind him in the scuffle.
You cowards!
Isaac yells. Upstairs, Sarah heard footsteps rapidly ascending from the cellar below and motioned for Simeon to hug a wall nearby in shadow. She withdrew her stiletto again and held it closely to her chest. It was impossible to see who was coming, but that meant she and Simeon would be hard to spot as well. Two men went past her, one hobbling under the arm of another. Their outlines didn't favor the shape of her husband's height or her son's build, yet their faces were still cast in shadow. Even with a successful instinct plus perception roll, she doesn't have a high enough dice pool to make out any distinguishing features. The pair ran right past them to the wood drop box hutch by the oven.
They'll be dealt with soon enough,
Simeon whispered as he leveled his Spitfire flamethrower down the staircase. A rush of gas filled the pipes coming from the fuel canister on his back, and a tiny blue flame sparked into existence out of the nozzle's heat shield. Down below, Isaac stumbled to his father, laying in a pool of blood beneath him, sword clattering at his side. Flaps of skin on Uriah's arm and shoulders revealed white bits of bone, shiny with blood. He cradled his father's head, and he wept gently and meekly, calling out,
"Help! Help, please!"
The last scion of Niall goes to Tinkrit and begins stripping him of his turban head wrap, his sword, and his oil. Tinkrit blankly stares up at his follower, pillaging his body, blood running into his eyes.
Please, save me.
No, my scion supreme. Welcome the Demiurge with open arms. Your legacy will live on, I will make sure of it. Those who escaped will learn of your routing of the Anabaptist who dared defy us,
the scion said hurriedly, layered with guile. Isaac could hear the bare footsteps smacking the stone as the last scion fled up the stairs. Where there was once salacious, indulgent sounds and laughter, There was now silence as Uriah, Isaac, the exsanguinated young girl at the altar, and Tancred were the only ones left alive in the cellar. In between his sobs and cries for help, Isaac could feel the labored rise and fall of his father's chest. Behind the curtain, he could hear panicked voices and rustling on the staircase. He laid his father down gently and picked up his sword again, the blade raking against the stone floor. He readied himself for whatever was to come and touched the flat of the blade to his forehead. The partly clothed scion, wearing Tinkrit's unrivaled turban as a cloth around his waist, was walking backwards with his hands up in the air talking to someone. Someones. The curtain parted around him, and Isaac could see a thin dagger at his throat as his mother brushed aside the loose drapes. Simeon followed closely behind, his spitfire trained on the scion. The old soldier's jaw dropped at the massacre laid out before him, and he kicked the scion square in the stomach, knocking him to the ground next to his vainglorious leader, Tancred. Sarah gasped and attended to her slashed husband on the ground. Uriah's dry lips parted to form words as she leaned in her head closer to listen.
"Save her. Burn the rest,"
he squeezed out, and with a shaky hand pointed at the collapsed child at the altar, blood almost dried black around her wrists. The scion was doubled over and made a motion to speak out, but Simeon pressed further into the chamber and pointed his flamethrower directly at his throat, the nozzle glowing a soft tangerine color from the heat that had accrued at the igniter. He said. Boot heels came down the stairs again, and Brig the sentry whipped the curtains open, dismayed at the grisly scene.
"Brig, grab the girl and take her to hospital across town."
"She won't make it. They don't open public hospitals until morning."
Uriah grasped at the brooch on his fur cape. Sarah noticed him struggling with it and unclasped it for him, tossing it to Brig.
"Rouse the nearest alarm and grab a horse. Show them the symbol of the hand, for God's sake."
Brig caught the brooch and crossed the room to the altar, bending over to heave the young girl up and over onto his shoulders. He exited the room, charging up the stairs two at a time. Sarah and Isaac each grabbed a tattered limb of their patriarch and heaved him up to his feet, straining under his weight, but managing to walk with him for support. Uriah's eyes rolled freely in his head from the anguish, and Sarah snatched Isaac's headband from his brow to stuff into the gaping wounds on her husband's stomach as they made their way up the stairs. Simeon never took his eyes off the scion and Tancred, shallowly breathing on the ground. The scion was drenched in a cold sweat, his hands held up in a shaking sign of surrender. The black-haired orgiastic kicked over a footstool and threw a few cushions on top of it in a pile. The scion bolted for the staircase, but was caught at the neck with the spitfire nozzle, searing the flesh below his jugular. He screamed in pain and fell backward again, clutching at his throat as Simeon pronounced over his cries for help.
"And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger against those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee."
No!
The false scion's screams were drowned out by the fuel-air mixture combusting from the tip of the spitfire, enveloping everything in front in bright white flame. The man was immolated in seconds, collapsing on his side as the fire swept across the floor in flammable objects. Simeon incinerated the altar, making sure it was well caught before putting up a cloth gaiter around his mouth to avoid the fumes from any leftover burn in the cellar. He turned around slowly and walked up the staircase, leaving the scorched earth behind him to spread upward to the timbers and joists of the floor above. Tancred blinked his eyes at the purifying blaze. The psychonaut's skull had collapsed from the heat, shattering on the floor in a dozen pieces. The smoke and ash grew thick in the confined space, and the scion supreme was left battered and broken at the foot of a patron that abandoned him. The burn cusps hidden underneath the altar filled the air with a miasma as they burst from the intense heat, and the lysed spores floated into his mouth. The last thought Tancred had was how afraid and alone he was, and then his vision went dark. Hey listeners, Coop the GM here. This concludes the Anabaptist storyline for now, but there may be an epilogue in the near future, if you listeners want one. So reach out and engage with me on Twitter at echoes_Escheton or via email at echoesofescheton@gmail.com. I might do some Twitter polls for my followers, and if you want your voice to be heard, be sure to leave a comment. You can find more in-depth game mechanics on my website, echoesofescheton.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening, and get ready for a new cult story reveal next week.